Hello, and welcome to the Dorkening Podcast Network. Press pound to hear the available shows. The Wicked Horror Show, Loose Cannon with Jar Jar Jeremy, Secret Underground Hideout, That Strange Show, Cinema with Harrison Smith, Dorks the Podcast, Super Retro Throwback Reviews, The Horror Squad Podcast, The Dorkening, Throwdown Thursday, Black and White Fright, Dorks the Podcast. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
Hey everybody, here is the very first Dorkening Podcast Network panel recorded this past weekend at Rock and Shock in Worcester, Massachusetts. It features myself representing Wicked Horror Show, Black and White Fright, and Secret Underground Hideout, as well as Joe from The Horror Squad. You have Mandy and Ryan from That Strange Show, and Ashes and Patrick from Throwdown Thursday. And it's also moderated by friend of the network, part of a couple shows himself, Alex Hoey, awesome artist. And here's a little fun drinking game to play. Every time Ryan says the word fuck, take a shot. You'll be drunk within minutes. He uses fuck instead of the word in his conversations. So here you go.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
All right, guys, we're going to start. I know seating was a little tough. We appreciate that you came. The good thing is we probably have enough prizes for everybody, so that's cool.
Yay! We all know that's why they're here.
Yeah, we're going to be like the Oprah of podcasts. So you all get a prize!
There are trivia questions for the good
started,
prizes.
By the way, it's already started that I can't say anything. So my name's Kevin. I'm part of The Dorkening, which is the Dorkening Podcast Network. Me and my cousin Leo started this a while ago, and we've added many, many shows and many awesome people to the network over the last, not even a year. But I want to go down and just have everyone introduce themselves and what shows they're on. Just me real quick, part of The Dorkening, obviously. I'm also part of Wicked Horror Show, which is every Tuesday night. It's live 9 p.m. on Facebook, and then the audio goes up after. Part of Black and White Fright and Secret Underground Hideout. So that's that, Joe.
Hello, I'm Joe. I co-host the Horror Squad podcast with three other people who couldn't make those bastards. But you can find us, you know, anywhere. And we discuss horror movies and do celebrity interviews. And yeah, check us out.
I am Ryan. I am from That Strange Show. Here comes Alex. There he is.
Hey, Alex. Welcome to the
everybody
party.
Everybody give Alex a round of applause.
Yay!
Thank you. So, Ryan, That Strange Show airs pretty much every Saturday. We discuss horror. It is comedy-based. So
not safe for work comedy.
Not at all. Don't play it at your cubicle by any means.
Put it in your earbuds.
But let your small children listen to it. It will harden them.
Change their lives.
That's
fair.
That's about it.
Yeah. I'm Mandy. I am also a co-host on That Strange Show. So everything he said, but I'm on it too.
My name is Ashes Von Nightmare. I am the co-host of the Throwdown Thursday podcast. New episodes come out surprisingly every Thursday. Who knew? And we talk about characters the same way other podcasts do film reviews and whatnot. We talk about pretty much every genre of character you can think of. We did a Game of Thrones series over the summer. We are currently working on our slasher villain series right now. Our most recent episode is on Ghostface from the Scream franchise, so that's pretty exciting. So this is my co-host. you can talk.
Yes, I am the co-host. My name is Patsy, the Angry Nerd. I am also the host of the new Shark Bites podcast. As you see, I have an affinity for sharks. And Shark Bites kind of developed after we joined the Dorkening Network, and we got a lot of interviews and screeners and things that we just couldn't handle on the regular show. So this is kind of like an overflow thing, so You know, I do interviews, I talk about conventions, film festivals, all that good stuff. And we've been, we ran like 3 years now on a Throwdown? A little over 3 years? 172 episodes?
Something like that, yeah. It's been a while.
So you mentioned conventions. This is our first year at Rock and Shock. I've been coming here.
It's your first.
No, I'm just saying, it's my first year here as a vendor at Rock and Shock. I've been a regular ticket holder for many years. It's like it was my go-to con for many years, way before I started doing any of this stuff. So I'm super excited to be here, and it's just a con I love. So I'm glad that we're a part of it, and that you know, Ryan definitely helped out with that. Loud noises. But yeah, so do you guys want to maybe talk a little bit? I know Alex is going to be moderating, but do you want to?
Yeah, let me moderate the panel. That's why you got me here. I do have a booth I have to get back to.
Well, we just assumed because he didn't show up on time that he didn't want to do it anymore.
You want to introduce yourself?
No, it's fine. I'm just going to guilt you first before I start. Anyway, so it's your first time here as a network.
Yes.
A marketing network.
Yes.
As a whole.
As a whole, as a family. You know, Ohana. And how's it feel? How's it feel to be unified?
Amazing. Good.
Amazing. Really good.
What other synonyms?
I like having us all together here because I feel like we're all different personalities. All of our shows are different. We all bring something different to the table, but it's definitely all, you know, horror-based. So it's something that, or horror pop culture, whatever you want to call it, and we can all kind of, like, be similar in that way, but we all, like I said, bring something different to the table, so it's good to have all the different personalities and everyone hanging out together, and it really just kind of brings us together as a network more, so I'm really excited about it.
Oh, exactly. And would you say that, you know, what would be your high point so far?
I
think some of the high points, like we kind of ran into each other a little bit a few
and
months ago.
And talk over each other during panels and,
yeah, that's
you
what
know,
we
podcast, yeah. All that, as we did.
Absolutely.
Right, well, that's what podcasting is. It's talking over each other. Well, I was going to say, we kind of ran into each other a little bit at Scaricon. But we really didn't, meet or have any interactions. And, you know, this has given us a chance to actually, outside of social media, like, talk and interact, not just with each other, but with, you know, people who have followed the shows and the network. So that's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, and none of us really met, but, like, as soon as we all met in person, we were just already like, yeah, we're friends, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Even though we never physically saw each other, we've only seen chest up as far. Which I'm sure plenty of women here are used to, but, chest up.
All right. Anyways.
It was a boob joke. All right. Let me spell it out, you know?
I mean, I'm married. We gotcha.
Yeah, okay. They know.
No problem.
So, have you guys had any favorite guests come on?
I always love talking to Felissa. She is such a sweetheart. She is the most down-to-earth, friendly person you could ever meet. She remembers people that she's met at different cons. Anyone she's interacted with, like if you've interviewed her on your shows or anything like that, she'll always remember you. She is a hugger. I can't rave about her enough because I always love seeing her just because of like her friendliness. And she actually, you can tell, has passion for the horror community and like really enjoys getting out there and talking to her fans and meeting people. So I'm excited that she's here.
I'm going to second that. Felissa is fantastic. If you haven't met Felissa, has anyone here had experiences with Felissa before? No. She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's amazing.
Like we interviewed her like years ago, and then she totally agree with her 100%. It was over the phone and still she was like, oh my God, when she saw us. It's like, it's amazing. And then Kane's awesome too. There's definitely a lot of awesome people here that you need to go talk to and get autographs from. I'm not trying to push. I'm not getting a cut. Believe me, I'm spending money. But yeah. So definitely go support the people in there. They're the reason we're here, right?
Absolutely. Favorite guest for me that we've ever interviewed on our show is probably Linnea Quigley. That was like a big deal for me. Grew up watching her and. Yeah, I mean, she's, what more can you say? I mean, she's an icon in the genre, and amazing.
Yeah. Ashes, do you have a specific one that you want to go with? Because I know what I always say, but do you have a specific guest?
So, guests that we've had on our show so far? So there's a couple that really stick out. One is actually not a horror icon. She's actually an 80s cartoon icon. It's Samantha Newark, who does the voice of Jem from Jem and the Holograms. I am a huge Jem
fan. She's truly outrageous.
But she is truly outrageous, and she's amazing. And if you are a fan of Jem or anything that she does, definitely seek out the opportunity to meet with her at a con, because she is one of the nicest, sweetest, most down-to-earth. She loves her fans. She will sit there and have an entire conversation with you while the line is growing behind her, because she just wants to have that interaction. She wants to get to know you and you know, talk about, you know, just life in general. We've had some great conversations with her. Another is Dominic Pace, yep, who was in the last Summer Asylum film called Megalodon. And it's on Sci-Fi, and I believe they still air it as well, but you can find the DVD.
Yeah, they aired it during Shark Week.
Yeah, I think you can purchase it on Amazon, and it's at Walmart and stuff. But Dominic Pace is an incredible actor, and he has a lot of credits to his name, and he is definitely one to watch out for. He's big in the horror community, being on the Sci-Fi film, but he's also doing a lot of other great stuff. And again, just such a really interesting, nice person, willing to do anything, go above and beyond, and he loves his friends and his fans and his family so much, so yeah.
Yeah, that whole interview we did, you know, Dominic, I had reached out to him on Twitter, and he was like, yeah, I'd love to be on the show, talk about the movie, and through him we met, you know, Ego Makitas and James Thomas, who directed it, Amy Stolte and Carolyn Harris, Paulina Laurent, who we've interviewed and talked to numerous times. And all these folks are sharing their new projects with us and, you know, giving us more content. So it's been great.
And then you can share it with everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes, and then
that's
we can share
it
with
do.
You guys. Yeah, and be like, hey, exactly, guys, we did this cool thing, and we want to share it with you. Listen to us.
That's a great thing. We're about good. Listening to podcasts.
Hey, Ryan. Promise.
Yeah, no, because you
what
get...
What about your favorite guest, Ryan?
I was just letting them talk. I mean, if anybody listens to...
No, we want you to talk,
anyone
Ryan.
Anyone that listens to TSS knows no one else can get a fucking word in while I'm talking, so...
This is true.
I mean, I'm thinking, because everybody got down the lines kind of going, you know, con moment or show moment or something like that. I actually have one of each that I wanted to bring up. Probably my favorite on the show moment would be our first interview ever at our first con we ever appeared at on a whim.
John Kassir.
The third guy from the show, Angel, who's not here, he pretty much went go fishing. And I walked out, and somehow I got John Kassir within like 30 seconds of being out. And he came, he's like, I'm gonna come to your table. And I didn't fucking believe him at all. And then he started gathering up his stuff, and I ran as fast as I could
to
the table.
Well, it helped because we had the Crypt Keeper like thing there.
Well, that was after he face fucked it.
He
when
saw
he walked
it earlier.
By, he grabbed it by the back of the head,
so
and he
I
just
think
forced it.
We like roped him in a little bit with
while
that.
We were live streaming on top of it, and it just completely killed the stream. So then I ran and I grabbed Angel, and I'm like, get everything up and rolling. John Kassir's coming. He's like, go to hell. That's not happening. And then here comes Kassir behind me. And we got him to sit down, and he gave us, I would say, about 35 minutes, 40 minutes of just him not shutting the fuck up.
Yeah.
We couldn't get a word in, and it lucked out because he grew up
in Springfield,
yeah, Massachusetts, where we're out of, and he's naming off strip clubs mostly and places to eat. And things
voice?
Like that.
In The Voice?
No. No, but
I can
he
only
did
imagine
the voice,
girls just
but...
like there, and all of a sudden, like, what the? Did
we... I wish he was doing it in The Voice.
He
but...
did The Voice, but he wasn't talking about the strip clubs in The Voice.
And then we got him to do a bump, our first like celebrity bump for the show, and he said our name wrong, and we just were like, thank you, and he just walked away, and we never got to use it because he says the wrong thing. But I just, that was a really great moment. That was also the same con the first time I ever met Sid. So nice. That's a special, special memory. Rest in peace, Sid.
Yeah, yeah. And, rest in peace, Sid.
But I think so far here this year, the Kassir one's a special one for me because I didn't, like, I did it so smoothly and it was my first one and I didn't freak the hell out. Somehow I've retracted in life and I cannot talk to like certain icons. Bill Moseley scares the living shit out of me because you look, he's such a nice guy, but when I look him in the eyes, it's just Otis, and it's just like, to me, it's like that character doesn't come out of thin air. He had to tap into something inside of him to bring that out. And so they're always trying to push me to like go talk to him, and I'm just like, not happening. And I'll stand like within 10 feet of him like a little kid, like trying not to annoy his dad. But then Kane, every fucking year, every year we're around Kane, I just fanboy the hell out. The first time we met him, I apologized beforehand for it and fanboyed. And this year, it ended with me telling him that he could fuck my wife. And I'm not kidding. That's what happened. And I was just, you could fuck my wife. And he's just like, what did you just say? And I was like, I was kidding. And he's like, what do you mean you were kidding? And I ran away. And then
he put his hand on my neck and pulled my hair.
And then everybody made fun of me when I walked away, which is usually the general consensus with the show. So that's it.
I have one more I want to bring up. Just because you guys kind of went like a little off of the horror stuff. And we have like mostly horror guests, and sometimes we have guests that aren't known for horror that come on for one project. But Yo-Yo, who's sitting in front right here, is also part of the show, and he could probably attest to. We had Carlos Alas Rocky on the show. I don't know if you guys know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
He's the voice of Rocco in Rocco's Modern Life, but he was also Garcia on Reno 911. And he's been in a couple horror movies recently, and he's come on for a couple of them, and he was absolutely amazing. Like, he's fantastic. He's another one that he does some of the Comic Cons and stuff. Highly recommend checking out those.
He's also Denzel Crocker from Fairly Odd Parents, if you're aware of that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Just in case.
And of course, we had him do a bunch of shows, shout outs and stuff in character. So it was fantastic. But yeah, cartoon voice actors are a favorite of mine as well. So that's awesome that we've all kind of had that experience with voice actors.
Ken Hodder once lifted me up when I was 470 pounds with one hand on my neck. I'm still think about that to this day. And I'm still intimidated to go up and talk to him.
You say his name and like my penis retracts back into my body. He just makes me feel like such less of a man.
Can you prove that?
Yeah.
So if someone
further than it already is, all right.
So I'm just imagining like if someone from Boston goes like, hey, you getting hotter? He's like, what?
Were you guys here last year when they announced him as Kane Hooter?
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Over the intercom, they were like, Kane
that
Hooter.
Was a good moment.
And then like 20 minutes later, Kane comes over the intercom and he goes, Kane Hodder is going to be hanging the announcer off the top corner of the DCU Center.
Next
hour and a half if you want to go see that.
We also need a janitor up here in the announcement booth.
Well, that's because I was over there and I just wet myself.
Well, if I may add, just in the state of most conventions are going on right now, there is sci-fi, comic book, we know it all. But would you also say that out of all conventions, horror, the aesthetic of anything Halloween or anything creepy-oriented, these conventions have the most welcoming people. And
yes.
Not only just the celebrities. Everyone you meet is just here. There are people here that vended that literally cried walking into the building because this is their escape.
Yeah. This is a really friendly convention, too. Like, I've been to others that, I didn't feel as welcomed, but I always feel welcomed here. And it's true. Like, a lot of people in the horror community are extremely friendly. And I think it's because we're all kind of like the outsiders, like out there. So when we come in here, it's like these are our people. So we can all relate to each other in that way.
And I think horror in general makes everyone empathetic in some way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where we all relate in some way to some universal monster. We all
right.
feel something connecting us to that. And plus, we all at one point, even how grotesque it was, even if it's Kane Hodder, sorry about the retraction, we sympathize with Jason, He's sure he's swimming impaired, but, he might be a mama's boy, but, he takes the punches.
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
You're welcome. Anyway, so
I was going to touch on what you were saying about the cons.
Yeah.
We've been to other cons where people have said, we chatted with a lovely trans woman at Scarecon, and they were her and her partner were saying that they don't feel welcome or safe in their home environment. But coming to a horror con with, people dressed up as serial killers and these people who have, killed thousands of people on screen, this is where they feel safe, this is where they feel welcoming. Which is, ass backwards completely, if you ask me. Like, you should feel safe at home. Not that cons shouldn't be welcoming to you, but you should be able to feel safe in your own home, but...
Absolutely.
Like you were saying, this provides the escape, this provides the comfort and relief, and... we've been coming to this con for years, over a decade at this point, and we don't view it as coming to a convention. It's almost like a family reunion.
You're going to go hang with our friends.
And you're always welcome here. If anyone ever feels a bit outside, you know, you're welcome here. Always. And on to that, I wanted to add, what do you guys think about the current state of horror in general?
Ooh.
Would you say the current mainstream horror is getting better?
Well, it's rising in popularity, I think, over the years that I've noticed, especially with a lot of the reboots and remakes that have been coming out. I think it's introducing new generations into horror, so that can be the good thing about those.
And what's weird is that reboots are being phased out into soft boots.
Yeah,
it's not even like a reboot.
Right.
It's just
like a reimagining or like a whatever. But I feel like it's
like the new Gremlins is just going to be called Gremlins. Yeah. We all know that. It's not going to be called Gremlins, whatever. It's just Gremlins.
Right.
Sorry to cut you off. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't even remember what I was saying, so it's good. Someone else can take over now.
So I think it really depends on, with horror, it really depends on the vision that the filmmakers have. Because I've seen some low-budget films and short films that were just beyond phenomenal. And I've seen some big-budget stuff that, you know, it seems like there were five or six people that all wanted their ideas to get in, and they all fought really hard, and they all put all their ideas in, but nothing seemed to really make sense because everyone's idea is kind of disjointed with...
It's like watching American Horror Story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything's really good, and then there's too many twists and too many ideas, and then it gets really shitty.
This season's already gone to shit so quickly.
Would you also clue in about, like, upcoming, because, you know, how mainstream is going, but also we're getting more brand-new directors and visionaries coming in?
I know I'm going to get Joe Hart talking about this.
I already know what's coming, baby.
The fucking Lighthouse.
Yes.
I have never been so excited for a director's second film. Like, first film, knocked out of the water.
Yes. Robert Eggers is, I think people are
you shut your fucking mouth.
Him.
We don't talk about Eggers like
The
that.
Witch is a very polarizing movie. You either love it or you hate it. You hated it.
Is anybody in here a fan of The Witch?
Yeah, nice.
Anyone in here hate it?
That's
okay.
It's all right.
You be quiet.
Burn them. That's why they make chocolate and vanilla. That's fair.
Can I just say just real quick? I didn't necessarily
There's a
hate
range.
It. I didn't necessarily hate it. I just didn't think it was nearly what people make it out to be. It was all right. I was in a theater full of people, and like, I can't even understand what this guy's saying. I felt zero suspense in that movie. It's just me, I know, but whatever. I understand that people like it, but it did nothing for me. Just like It Follows, it did nothing for me.
I
agree with you on It Follows. I don't know what it is about that movie, but. Just like all the hype it got, and then like once I actually watched it, I was like, "What the fuck is this?" Yeah. You know.
I really like the score for that one, though.
It's called Art.
It is.
Yeah. I honestly just found it kind of refreshing. It was just such like something kind of out of left field that wasn't like following the formulas.
It actually seemed very familiar to me. It Follows.
Shut up.
It did. I was like, I've seen this before.
Oh, wait a minute. We're on It Follows now?
No.
What are we on? I phased out for a second there. I'm sorry.
While you were talking about Robert Eggers?
Oh, yeah. I find his work to be extremely refreshing.
Okay. All right, let's see. How about we...
All right, I'm
really
on the right
divisive.
Page. Good.
And Ari Aster, too, is, I think, a great up-and-coming director. I think those are the two big ones right now, Eggers and Aster. They're doing stuff that is different, and I think that's really important for the genre.
Yep.
Apostle, I think that's his Netflix one. Is that how you pronounce it? Apostle?
Apostle?
That's his
Apostle?
Horror movie. Yeah, Apostle. It's on Netflix, and it's awesome. Would you guys say any, like, huge films you were excited about coming out, or anything that you think really dropped the ball?
Pet Sematary.
I went to a showing with Ryan, and as soon as the credits hit, he was gone.
Yeah.
Way to take my fucking story, Alex.
No. I wasn't taking your story. I just remember from my perspective, it was like we both went to prom and you're a girl dancing with someone else, and you were just like, dude, screw this.
William Zabka punching out a window as I walk out. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. But you're like, wow, this is fun. I can't wait to show up. It's like, dude, she's already there.
Dude,
in the back
second
with the guy.
I heard that them redo Ramon's Pet Cemetery at the end of that.
Ouch.
I literally, like, that movie ended and it kept going and I was like, there's still opportunity. That was a movie where they had so many chances to redeem themselves and it just kept getting fucking worse worse.
Like, the cat did a really good job.
Yeah, the cat was great,
but I honestly was so pissed. I was so pissed I was so pissed that they pimped the shit out of John Lithgow for that, and I was so excited, and then he's in like 11 minutes in the whole film. They reduced, like, they claimed they were going to be so close to the story, and then all they did was, like, dick tease you with, like, little stuff from the book, but never went into depth on it, just for me to find out after the fact that they were planning a fucking prequel. Like, they were already planning that, and so they gave you, like, this bullshit movie. Like, you're not even going to get John Lithgow. You're going to get some...
You guys remember,
they did not give John Lithgow enough time.
They didn't give Judd's character like a good enough part. And just the entire twist at the end of that, with how they switched... Is everybody in here seeing it? We're not spoiling anything, right? The fact that they switched Gage to the daughter completely ruined the movie for me. Like, it took out... Pet Sematary is... Stephen King didn't even want to put that book out because they told him it was going to kill his career. And he was just... It was too much and it was too personal to him and everything. And he put it out to kill off a contract that was on the shelf. His wife and his friend, and they put had read it beforehand. And then the original movie is just... I mean, it's not the greatest, but it's so much better than what you would think with money and a better acting... With the better actors and, like, you... I had so much hope for that we made we did our own premiere for it at a local theater, and I couldn't get out of that theater fast enough.
Are we taking questions?
We are taking questions.
Sure. So that's part of the 35-year author agreement.
Oh,
we actually were just talking about that.
Yep. Their copyrights are up. Yeah.
That's why, like, things like Jonathan Craven and the Craven family now has complete control of Freddy Krueger again. Ugh.
But is that a bad thing?
Yeah, we don't know.
Need I remind you of Jackie Earle Haley?
There's a ton of... You're the author of the script. You created the character. Yes, you may not have the distribution rights to the neighborhood library, but guess what? Now you own Freddy Krueger, all the characters within. It's like, you know, Kevin Smith owns James Hunt, all the characters connected. Nobody doesn't own the movies or whatever.
Right.
Now the same thing is happening to all these other people that are just like, fuck you, all my characters back.
Yeah. Did you have something to say?
Absolutely.
I know, I have a question.
Oh. Ask away.
What indie horror films new that people should check out?
Loaded question right there.
I'm going to go with one that probably a lot of people haven't seen, and I just watched it recently. It was called Hagazusa.
Yes.
If you're into, like, slow burn horror movies, I thought it was genius. It's one of my favorite horror movies I've watched this year. And I actually think it was a student thesis film. Really impressive. Can't wait to see what this director does next. It was fantastic. I will say it's a little slow, so just be patient with it.
Like The Witch?
Like The Witch, yeah. So very slow burn. But holy shit, the payoff is amazing. So cannot recommend that enough. It's streaming. You can get a VOD.
Netflix has it. That's how I watched it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, because you had recommended it to me.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, this thing's amazing.
Is there anyone else before? Because he's got a question over there.
I was also just wanted to say people should go check out Fat Films because they have a new short called The Stray. And it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be wicked good.
Wicked good.
We actually have tickets for that in the little bin
over
there. We got four tickets for the second screening.
There's a screening on the 2nd of November at the Elm Draft House in
Millbury.
Which that production company was kind enough to throw four tickets for that.
I did not know that. That was a happy accident. Yeah, go check out The Stray.
Do we have a question over here, too? It's okay.
I really liked it. I thought it was fun. I know I feel like a lot of people are kind of split on it.
But
I thought it was like a fun, like, introduction to horror movie for kids. Like a Goosebumps. I did not like the first Goosebumps movie, but I thought the second Goosebumps movie was
actually
really
good. I like the
second
one too better.
Haunted
yeah.
Halloween. But I really liked Scary Stories. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I thought they did the book justice for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I skipped out on it.
Really?
Honestly, it was one of those things where I just hate going to the movies in general. So it's one of those, like, me going to the movies depends on, like, how strong the reviews are on for stuff for me to, like, drag my ass out of the house. So it was one of those I was just kind of waiting for it to come out on home because there was a 50-50 when I was looking online.
I reviewed it with Wolfie, and we brought you guys up. Actually, everyone on that strange show, because you have kids. And I was like, I think this would be a good thing for them to show their kids, like, when they're old enough to do so, because it's scary,
it's like,
but it's not too
light.
Scary. Yeah. But anyways.
I don't know if you have... Did you like the movie? Okay. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but they just... Are You Afraid of the Dark did a revival on Nickelodeon. The first episode just came out. I watched it last night, and it was...
How was that?
Fantastic. Great. They really did the original justice, but brought in some new stuff that's really cool. And it has Ben from It in it.
He's become like a go-to in like a lot of horror stuff now, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was in
the Goosebumps movies. Yeah.
Can I ask, did they keep the intro as creepy as it was?
It's not as good, but they did keep the music.
Okay.
Yeah. So in this one, it's like the Midnight Society is a lot more involved in the story this one as well. So it's cool. I definitely recommend checking it out if you have kids and want.
That opening
was kids. I don't have kids, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. So.
Speaking of them bringing old shows back, I'd like to know the general consensus of the room on the new Creepshow. That I absolutely was so happy that they were bringing that back. I believe we liked it so much that we did a quick little banger episode on that because we were going to be here all weekend, so we weren't going to be recording anything. But I couldn't have been more. You know what? Honestly, I'll be honest. With the first episode, I kind of felt like the second story should have been the first one.
Yeah.
Because it was a good story, but after the first one with the creature effects and everything, it just kind of made the second one was slower. It was good, but it was more creepy. The other one I felt like would have been a stronger, like end off on that. But the
that one had, like, the first one had, like, all the effects and, like...
And Tobin.
Like,
I feel the other way, actually.
I agree. I was going to say that, too. I actually feel like the second story was better. It was, like, so minimal, but I was on, like, the edge of my seat, like, the entire time.
I thought the first one was, like, a rehashing of an old Creepshow.
Oh, yeah,
I
definitely.
Just wanted that head to, like, when the head became big... I was like, oh shit, the fucking family's gonna get it. Like, I was like, and then she's just like, I'm just gonna put it back. And I was like, fuck that.
You're like, no.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Give us what we're looking for.
So I enjoyed the first episode, but that one made me kind of like, And then the second episode came out.
The
werewolf.
I was super excited for that. I'm just gonna nerd out for a second. That was directed and written by Rob Schraub. I don't know if anyone knows who Rob Schraub is. He created one of my favorite comic books called Scott the Disposable Assassin, but he early worked with Dan Harmon from Rick and Morty. So, like, he's known in that world, which is weird because I want that to be a full movie. That short was phenomenal.
I was excited that Jeffrey Combs was in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob Schraub also wrote Monster House.
Ooh.
Another great intro to horror type movie there.
Yeah, that too. But it's an original script. He actually had organs inside. It wasn't supposed to be like a thing. They toned it down just a little bit.
I just really enjoyed how they had like the triple threat style werewolves. You had like the wolf. You had like the wolf cop style werewolf. You had the dog soldiers / howling style.
Dog soldiers.
I would have liked to see the transformation of the werewolves,
though.
That was the only thing. Like, I get it. They did it with, like, the comic book flip, but,
the way that they did it, I thought, was tasteful. Like, I thought it was done well. It looked horrible, but they did it justice, because it's a comic book, so.
Right, I know. But, just saying. I like the transformation.
What do you guys think is the best werewolf transformation, like, in film history?
I hate you for even bringing the best werewolf transformation. Yeah. I want to go with... I feel like I want to say American Werewolf in London,
Is
there any other answer?
But
there is
an
answer
because the Howling.
There is.
No, there is. But there totally is. The Michael Jackson in Thriller.
That was a werecat.
Yeah. All right.
Michael Jackson in Thriller. I like.
Did someone say Silver
But it's still
Bullet?
John Landis and Rick Baker.
Nobody say Silver
I
Bullet.
Was say, did
that
I
werewolf,
hear
that?
I like
Silver
Bullet.
A Muppet. Like, that wasn't.
A Muppet cat.
Like.
We did have a vote for Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf?
Yes!
Teen Wolf was great, but it was overshadowed by what the dad looked like as a werewolf. He just was... It was just the cutest werewolf you've ever seen. I wanted him to be my werewolf dad. He just opened it up, and he was just so puffy. Like...
Ooh. Yeah. There's so many I feel like we could bring up right now, but I feel like everyone...
I'm honestly, so I'm going to put my vote out for The Howling, the initial transformation
Howling.
When he changes in the doctor's office was just, I thought that's also like my favorite style werewolves were great. From The Howling. That's my favorite werewolf movie. Everybody's got a favorite. I get shit because it's that one for some reason. I thought it was great. I love the whole blood orgy like thought process to it. Cause it's,
what time is that later?
That is right after this panel. You weren't supposed to tell everybody that.
Can I also ask you guys, what is a horrible, god-awful horror movie, but you in particular love it?
That goes, yeah. It's a loaded question.
Man, I don't want to...
You got to pick one.
When you said horrible, god-awful horror movie,
something that everyone
the first thing
hates,
that jumped to my mind was
love.
Birdemic, but I don't like it. So I'm going to have to say Inhumanwich.
Inhumanwich
is like it's on Amazon. It's a spoof of like 50s sci-fi. You know, like they have an astronaut and he goes through a radioactive meteor shower and it while he's eating a sloppy Joe and he's like, oh well, I don't eat onions on my sloppy Joe because they make me all lethargic. I don't know why I'm telling you that. It doesn't have any emphasis. You know, any relevance to the plot or anything, but I'm just going to eat this, you know, sandwich that my wife packed me as an astronaut. And he ends up turning into a giant, sentient, sloppy Joe. And he is only defeated because he almost makes it to the, like, some chili factory in Cincinnati, but he's stopped by a massive dose of onions, and then he's killed when a professional eater comes out of retirement to devour him.
Sounds like a jam.
But it's so self-aware. It's the
what director would you want to reboot it?
Werner Herzog.
All right.
It's fairly new, but it's a lot of fun.
I'm curious.
It knows it's terrible, but I would recommend it.
All right. I'm down for that.
I got one, and I'll probably get shit for this, but... Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2.
I'm on. You.
I love the first Blair Witch movie. And don't get me wrong, like, it's not as good as the first Blair Witch movie. But there's just something, like, really... Like, I actually think it's a really good script. Maybe it wasn't executed perfectly, but there's just something about it that I'll still watch to this day and still just enjoy the hell out of it. So Blair Witch 2 for me, for sure.
Did you look into the studio? The studio, like, re-edited it. There was, like, a whole
plan
for it. Oh,
yeah, there's a director's cut.
It had, like, trivia and, like, or not trivia, but, like, not even Easter eggs. Like,
Easter
a scavenger
egg,
hunt
yeah.
within the movie, right. But they re-edited it so it didn't make any sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Sharknado.
Yeah, you.
Sharknado. Love it. All of them. You know, in the most recent one, they had Alaska Thunderfuck 5000 from RuPaul's Drag Race. She played like Morgana.
Morgana
with the whole wizard scene that had Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah, that's what I said. Neil deGrasse Tyson was in a Sharknado film. It's amazing. Have you not seen it?
I have not yet.
Oh my God, go home. Right? Right? It's so bizarre, and it's so bonkers, and the gore it's a cable TV gore, but, like, it's still there, and they do these crazy kills. It's like, sharks don't do that. Like, that's not, I'm not, like, a shark biologist, but, like, I'm pretty sure that's not what they do, but it's still super cool, and, like, there's chainsaws and shit, so, yeah, Sharknado. Yeah, we haven't watched that one yet.
Zombie
that's
Tidal
on our,
Wave.
Yeah, Zombie Tidal Wave. Yeah, it's like Ian Ziering and that whole crew. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's
and
Ian
like,
Ziering.
And Lava Lantula with Steve Guttenberg.
And the sequel to Lava to Lantula.
Yeah, to Lava
where
to
they
Lantula.
Did the crossover with Sharknado.
What's his name? Mike Mendez, who made Lava Lantula?
I believe so.
Yeah,
I think
so, he's fantastic. We can probably get him for it if you want.
But yeah, pretty much like any asylum film, I'm a sucker for. And they have a reputation for being so bad, but some of the stories are just so bizarre and out there. And they're Triassic World with the dinosaurs that they were cloning and creating dinosaurs for human body parts.
Yeah, they were
put that together, right?
Harvesting
right?
Organs that's from dinosaurs for people.
Science. It's yes, but anyways. It's brilliant, and it's just fun, and it's funny. It's almost like they were just like, we want to make a dinosaur movie that's not Jurassic Park. I know, like, we'll have it in, like, a hospital or something. It was weird, and the writing wasn't good. But it was so great.
All the raptors came out and killed people. Like, I don't know how they could have foreseen
that. These are films
that
you don't have to think about. Like, you can get a pizza, glass of wine, and just watch it, and you don't have to process it, and you're still entertained. And, you know, the horror factor is there. The gore is there. And some of the creature creations are pretty,
you know. Yeah, the creature effects are fairly good.
I mean, some of the CGI needs a bit of work, but, you know, budgets are real, and you have to stay in those budgets. But
yeah,
exactly. It's like the modern version of that. Yeah, it is the modern creature double feature. So, you know, being a fan of kaiju and stuff, I'm gravitated to those type of films because it's just it's almost a similar premise, just a little different.
So. Can I also say, has anyone seen Bad Ben? Please, this guy made this horror movie, which is basically Paranormal Activity. But it's just this one old guy who just recorded himself in his own house, and he has like 4 to 5 movies with lore to it. It's all free on YouTube. Please go see it. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, and I love it.
I think we're going to do a giveaway here, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we just talked about, like, do you want to do the bad movie one? Yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
Ahead.
So why don't you guys tell us some of your favorite bad movies that other people don't like? We have a bunch of enamel pins that we can give out. So anyone have any suggestions? You like Jason
Ooh.
X? You like Jason X, though.
It does have one of the best kills, though. That,
it does.
The liquid nitrogen face smash.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Everyone argues his fingers should have chopped off, but come on, it's Jason. It's Jason.
Anyone else?
Literally, call something out. Get a free. Free
yeah, yell out, crap. Yell out a movie, and you get a free head.
Movie, get a pen.
Dead girl.
Dead girl's a good. Is that the one where they? Yeah. That's I watched that one. Actually, I just watched that one this year. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
We got three more.
Shocking dark.
Yeah. That was an Arrow release, right? Did Arrow release that or Vinegar Syndrome? Oh, Severin, okay.
Ooh, good call.
That's a good
call.
Movie.
That's up for debate, but hey, it's an opinion.
But that head explosion.
Yeah, right. So bad it's good.
Ooh. Leprechaun's a good one.
I'm kind of with you on
I
that,
love Leprechaun.
Actually.
No, fuck these people.
Hey.
No. Wait.
No.
Any
no.
series where you go to the
Listen.
Hood and then space and then back to the hood.
First yeah, if
all,
you go to space at all, like,
first,
the, no.
First
I think that's kind of your...
You've given up if you've gone to space.
He doesn't even need a microphone.
The DOA of your...
Alien
versus
Predator
exactly.
didn't take place in space.
Like, well,
figure that one out.
We've run out of ideas. Let's send them to space.
Kids, run.
That was fun. I like Velocipaster. It's fun. Yeah, it's horrible, but it's a good time. Yeah. Yeah, same here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. It's with a name like Velocipaster, you can't assume that it's going to be like. Yeah, I have that too. I don't know. I've never watched it. I feel bad.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of. There's this. Yeah, there's a director named Chris Seaver that I love everything he does, and they're pretty bad. Like Teen Ape Goes to Camp, I love. But yeah, horrible movies, but they're really fun. They're just cheesy, and he makes them all in a weekend. So yeah, you know that they're good.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing with these lower budget movies. I think lower budget movies are actually more difficult to make than the big budget blockbusters because. You don't have this unlimited budget and this unlimited amount of time to make a film. If you screw something up, you're pretty much out of luck. Like, you have to nail your lines, you have to nail your spots. pretty much perfectly on one try. So yeah, it may not be, you know, as flashy as, you know, some of these big budget films, but then I look at a big budget film like Geostorm and think, wow, this is essentially a sci-fi movie, but it's got Ed Harris and Gerard Butler and Jim Sturgess in it. Like, you know, so I don't judge movies on whether or not they're...
And independent horror films are really killing the game right now. Like, they are creating these great ideas that have never been heard of. If you're interested in checking out any indie horror, there's a booth here called It Came From the 508 Productions. Actually, James Lamond is actually here from It Came From the 508 Productions. They have a film over in his booth called One Last Kill that is... It's so good. Minimal actors. The set is just, it's outdoors for the most part. But
a lot of it takes place in a car.
The story is so crazy, and what you think is happening, the twist at the end, you're just kind of like, what? What did I just watch? It's great. So definitely, if you're interested, go to It Came From the 508. Their booth is here. What booth are you, sweetie?
214.
So check them out. Also, if you like really bad, like CGI sci-fi horror, check out a small movie called Bad CGI Sharks. That's the name of it.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
It is so meta. So we had the opportunity to not only interview Majama, who are the directors, writers, actors, producers. It's like they're super talented, but they do everything. And we had the opportunity to interview these guys and check out their film. And, oh, my God, it is such a good time. The writing is hilarious. The acting is just so funny. And like I said, it's so meta. They're completely aware of what they're doing and that it's bad. I mean, it's in the name, Bad CGI Sharks. You know what you're getting. Like, the story, there's nothing unsuspecting happening. Like, you know exactly what
it
is.
So
but the story
funny.
Is really good. Yeah, and it's highly entertaining. It's like 90 minutes. And so if you're looking for something, just to kind of take your mind off of the American Horror Story that's happening around us right now, definitely look up Bad CGI Sharks because it's hilarious.
I think it's good when they don't take themselves too seriously too, like you're saying, because it's like you know what you're getting into. It's so bad, it's good. Like you're looking for that particular type of
it's
movie,
like,
just
such,
like you said,
right,
to like
they're
shut
such
off.
Fans of this genre, this asylum film sci-fi esque genre, that they wanted to kind of make an homage to that, and they did, and they succeeded.
And that's good.
Their budget
really
was like $5,000.
Yeah,
you can go crazy with shit and like not care and like just do like off the wall, like bonkers shit, like that, like you wouldn't be able to do.
Well, and that's the thing too with some of these lower budget indie pictures. They don't have these big budget producers behind them whispering in their ear, no, we don't want that. You should switch this line, maybe cast this person. So what you're getting is the director's vision.
Yep.
And from all of the interviews that we've conducted with these indie filmmakers, like that is something that's so important to them because they set out with a story. They have this story to tell, and they want to show you. They want you to, and they're making this for you. They want to entertain you. And so they're not getting deluded by all of these voices telling them what they should do and what they shouldn't do. It's their vision, and they can see it through from start to finish. And it's, the, you know, the budget's not there, obviously, but it's you get a really quality product, and it tells this really great story. And so if you're into that, if you're into great characters and, you know, well-thought-out, well-developed stories, definitely search for indie films and indie horror specifically, because you're going, I mean, you're going to get the absolute bonkers CGI sharks, but you're going to get some great stuff, like
they're not
One
relying,
Last Kill from It Came From the 508.
They're not relying on the budget stuff, so they can just kind of do what they
focus
want.
On
and
story
and focus
to
on the story, exactly.
You know, sometimes, you know, and practical effects too, and I feel like that's a dying art in film these days, because CGI is so readily available with budgets.
Which you
and stuff.
Need for certain things, but I think it's oversaturated.
Well,
and
I mean, growing up, like in the age of, I'm a huge fan of like the Muppets and Fraggle Rock and puppets. Everything was puppets, like the Labyrinth and everything.
It takes so much work to put into that stuff.
Right, right. So I really appreciate the special effects, the makeup, the, you know, the corn syrup and red food coloring that goes into some of these
use
films.
Whatever's in your kitchen. Like, I agree too, like, as a special effects makeup artist, like, I think it is a dying thing, and I think it needs to be revived, and indie horror films are a great way to revive a lot of the practical effects, which I'm a fan of, definitely.
Absolutely.
What would you guys say is your favorite horror movie of this year?
Ooh.
Midsommar.
So far, Midsommar. Absolutely.
Same here.
It's not even close. And then I'd follow it up with maybe us. I mean, us is definitely up there. I mean, people can say what they want about Jordan Peele, but I think he's doing stuff for the genre that's really good. Like,
Twilight Zone was awesome, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at his two movies, Get Out and Us, like, they're kind of Twilight Zone, like, long Twilight Zone episodes. Like, so, I mean, I think he's been great. Say what you want about him, but, yeah, Midsommar and Us are my two favorites.
As far as mainstream.
Absolutely. Yeah, as far as mainstream, right. Yeah.
I did not like Midsommar.
Your opinions are invalid and nobody cares.
That's incorrect because I have my own show, so I can spout my opinions as much as I want.
Take it easy, Steampunk Willie.
Listen. I was waiting for that.
I know.
You had the opportune moment.
I had to wait for you to get in an argument with your wife.
I think my favorite movie of this year is a small independent film. It's actually a short that I saw called Firstborn from...
Yeah,
from Erica Stockwell. It's actually it's making the rounds at film festivals right now. It's actually going to be at the Axe Wounds Film Festival in Brattleboro, Vermont. And after that, it should be online shortly. But I 100% recommend that. I also want to give an honorable mention to a couple of Rehome by Izzy Lee, which is just a phenomenal... If you have a chance to see anything by Izzy Lee, she actually has a... she's part of an anthology on Amazon right now called She-Venge, and it is... her segment is called For a Good Time Call. Everybody who is involved in this is phenomenal, and I 100% recommend it. So She-Venge, and check that one out. And another honorable mention goes to Heartbeat by... Diana Porter, which that one hit you.
Yeah, it was really good. So I have three. So Midsommar, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was unsuspecting, and I loved the story, and I loved what he served up. Ready or Not was brilliant. It was hilarious. It was funny. It was gory. There were parts where, like, I was legit on the edge of my seat with suspense. And Crawl by the Rasmussen
Brothers. Oh, Crawl was so fucking good.
By the Rasmussen Brothers. It was an amazing, so think Asylum, but up a few notches, like with an actual
really good writing,
realistic
really
story,
good story,
and, you know, the CGI was really well done, and the creature being, you know, alligators, crocodiles,
real,
you know, real life situation, it kind of puts you, you know, again, that was another one, I was at the edge of my seat for almost the entire film.
I just want to add one thing onto Crawl. The thing that I liked the best about Crawl is, like, any of these, like, man versus nature, man versus, like, an animal type of movie, there's always, you know, like, some way of marking, like, the protagonist animal. Like, you know, there'll be a fight at the beginning where they scratch him, or, like, if you look at the gray, like, you know, you have that one black wolf that keeps coming after Liam Neeson over and over again. So it's almost like every other one of these animals is like a disposable CGI army, but there's always this one face-off at the end with the marked animal. But Crawl didn't do this. It was just you had no idea how many of them there were. You know, there was one that got stabbed in the eye with a screwdriver, but that one didn't come back. It wasn't like the final boss fight, you know. It was, I think... Alexandra, I've heard his name like a million times. Aya, however you pronounce it, I'm not sure. But he did a great job of kind of taking that twist and along with the Rasmussen brothers, you know, changing that and subverting your expectations in a good way.
I also love, I love the idea and the concept of a final girl. And I love it when my final girl is at the end of the film and she's so jacked up. Like, you can see that she has been fighting.
She's been through some shit.
Right. And you get that with...
She's not just dirty. She's beat up.
She's, like, missing
a ligament.
She's
emotionally
distraught. Yeah. Her mascara has run down her face, you know. It's very realistic, but, like, she's jacked up. You can see that she has been fighting this entire film. I appreciate that, and modern horror is doing that more than horror from the past, you know, where you have, like, I'm the final girl, my hair is slightly tousled, and there's, like, a little bit of dirt on my face, but look at my boobs, they're still great, right?
Well, we talked about, like, this with
I literally have no objection to that at all. I just want to go on
I'm
the
not
record.
Saying, like, oh, sorry. Like, there's a place for that, and it's great, but I kind of like this gritty... ruthless direction that they're going with our final girls.
Well, we just talked about this with Scream 4. Like, the final fight she has with the guy, she gets kicked in the face, she gets smashed, you know, her face smashed against a counter, she gets hit in the face 20 times, and she has a small cut in the corner of her lip. It's like, are you serious right now? Like, that's not the way that works. You get hit in the face repeatedly, get your face smashed into a granite countertop, you're going to be fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, one would hope.
Ryan, you had something you wanted to say?
No, I mean, when people get riffing, you don't want to interrupt it.
I really liked Brightburn.
I know the panel's supposed to go for
that
like
was
an hour.
Surprisingly awesome. Yes. I was not expecting that movie to be what it was. And also, maybe another one I'm going to bring up is one that might be counted as like one people don't like that I like is Fanatic.
I hate you.
And
with
I think people are just looking at the fact that that's a Fred Durst film, and they're going, "Nah, I'm not going to watch that."
Hey,
but actually, give it a shot, because John Travolta was really, really good in that movie. And I'm like, I had a childhood crush on Devon Sawa, of course. So, like, you know, there's that. But I like the dynamic between the characters and everything going on. And I think that that one is kind of like being pushed out. And I think it deserves. Is that what you were going to say? I mean, we have the same opinions for the most part, the two of us on movies.
That entire spiel with Fanatic.
So give your input on Fanatic. Like, go for it.
Well, I just...
That is my biggest surprise of 2019 so far, the Fanatic. When I heard Fred Durst and John Travolta were putting out a horror movie, I was like, oh my God.
You like have to see it at that point because you're like, really?
I was like, this is going to be a train wreck. And then I watched it and I was like, I think I loved it.
It's really good.
I really fucking love The Fanatic because it was just like you said, you saw Fred Durst and it's like, and then you watched it and he does have a general good sense on direction. So it was kind of like if he changed his name just for films and put any other name,
Jed Durst.
I think it would have gotten a completely different reaction than it did. But John Travolta's made some really shitty, stupid choices in his career. But he's also made some, like, phenomenal choices where he's knocked it out of the park. So I feel like this was one of those movies where, I mean, he plays a guy with mental disabilities. And it's totally done well, believable, it's tasteful. It's not, he is not like playing.
Like making fun of or mocking
anything.
He's
not mocking at all.
Yeah.
But I also really like the movie because it kind of flips it on you a little bit. I don't want to reveal anything because it's.
Right, no spoilers.
It's too new. But they flip it on you, and by the end of it, you kind of don't know which way to go with what's going on. You kind of get stuck on the fence with the direction that the film went, which you could be thinking one way. I know we have it coming out this weekend or next weekend because you're an asshole and put everything out before us.
I think we did this weekend and then Creep Show's after that. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's one way or the other. But I know on the show, we were divided on the ending, like which.
Yeah.
Because it's a very unassuming ending, but it's more about the journey to it. Because it ends on one of those, like, the climax isn't the end of the film. The end of the film is kind of a sputter out, like a cool down before they roll the credits. And then it goes a film by Fred Durst. And you're like, I forgot that this was by Fred Durst.
Except for the fact that he did shameless self-promotion with the Limp Bizkit song in the movie.
Where Devin Sawa's with his kid and he's like, oh man, do you like Limp Bizkit? And they put on a Limp Bizkit song driving around and Devin Sawa literally is like, yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
But I think,
I think that is part of showing who Devin Sawa's character is, kind of in a weird way.
Like,
it fits with his character. And I also feel like Fred Durst kind of made fun of himself a little bit by putting that in there. I think it was
Fred
kind
Durst,
of like,
I think the,
just kind of like
I
joking
think Fred
around.
Durst at this point has come to the realization of who he is in life. And unfortunately, his name is Fred Durst. So no matter where he puts it, it's automatically going to be there. But they did make Devin Sawa's character was kind of like the guy you would think would have sexual allegations against him at the end of Woodstock. So they achieved. This is all I have to say to that.
I'm just waiting for his biopic where it's the best of times and the Durst of times.
They did release it. It's a porno. Not kidding.
Waka waka.
So what do you guys think about Free Stuff?
Do you guys like free stuff?
Everybody like
I know that everybody in this room, he's excited.
You need a reward
over there
for
with
sitting
the pumpkin
through this.
Shirt.
You need to be rewarded for actually sitting here.
We're going to play a game. Who wants to play a game? Yeah, they do. We're going to play a game called Is It Horror? So I think you guys kind of know the direction this is going to go. What are we? Are they naming or are we naming?
Napoleon Dynamite.
I love that movie.
Showgirls.
Moderate. Moderate. Moderation.
We haven't thought this out, by the way.
We haven't. We didn't think this out yet. We just have free stuff to give away, and we're trying to figure out how to give it to you.
We gathered up all these prizes
right
before
this one.
Scooby-Doo.
We basically have a giant bag back here full of awesome stuff from a lot of the vendors that are in there. You might have seen us running around grabbing stuff.
Everyone's going to get something.
What? What's up?
I said, I'm pretty sure there's enough prizes that everyone sitting
there's a good chance of it, but there is varying degree.
I do have some easier trivia questions that I wrote down.
We do have true...
Want to do trivia instead?
I want to do the trivia. I want to do the trivia because we have some autographed stuff.
Oh no, those are going to be difficult.
Kane Hodder autographed.
The hard
Blu-ray.
Questions.
Yeah, the really Nolan difficult back. Questions are for like the Kane Hodder thing. Like that's I got a really tough.
Oh,
one
see,
that.
People heard free stuff, they come running.
Yeah, that works. You want to win some free stuff? Come
oh,
on in.
Free
stuff.
Sure.
Free stuff.
I got some easy ones though. If you want to do, you want to warm it up with some easy ones.
I wanted to try. Can we fish out a little? Is it horror?
Yeah, let's do a little bit of that. Alex, you had a good one, what you just said.
Yeah, everyone talked over me. It's like the podcast.
I heard you.
Scooby-Doo, is it horror?
Is it horror?
No.
Is it horror?
Is it horror?
What do you
look,
think?
Look, see, the kids are raising their hands.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, gateway to horror.
Pennywise,
yeah.
What do you think?
It's mystery. Yes.
Hold on.
We got kids talking. We got the children talking.
Pennywise is giving us an answer.
We don't have a mic out there, so we can't hear.
It's terror time again. Come on and get some
free stuff. I like that answer. Come get a free
stuff. That's a good answer.
I like that.
Love the makeup, by the way. It looks great.
And the shirt. The shirt is rad.
Yes. That's
amazing.
Awesome.
Zombie Mickey Mouse.
It says, I hate you to the moon and back, for anyone wondering. It's a great shirt.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Really? Which one is yours? The jack-o'-lantern. What do we got?
The witch.
You like Disney princesses, but scary?
Well, you got to give
the Pennywise one. You got to get the Pennywise one.
You see the eyes light up on that one?
The witch I have. Not that one?
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. All right. That's from Burnsig. He's out there. Awesome artist. He does great horror mashups. So, like, different characters, like Rick and Morty stuff, Bob's Burgers, like, and, like, we'll mash it into, like, horror stuff. Really cool. And Disney princesses.
Well, this young man here also had an answer, but I don't think he gave, like, a reasoning why. Do you have a reasoning why archery for beginners?
Nice.
I give him that. I think that deserves a prize.
Yeah. How about a Goosebumps? How about a Goosebumps primp?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's Brain Dead Customs.
All right.
No.
Alien.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's
oh, horror. We need is reasoning.
Is it more sci-fi or is it more horror?
That's the thing on that one.
It's like
a
great
debate.
It's
50-50. Yes, 50-50.
Because I think Alien's straight horror, but Aliens.
All right,
Aliens.
Aliens.
Sci-fi.
Let them talk about it.
You
said Alien the first one was horror. The second one's more sci-fi than
Aliens. All the action, all you got on the
space breach. I like that answer. Come on up. See, I agree with him.
We have someone in the back, too.
It's got the gore element.
Absolutely.
And it's got the stalking element as well.
Yep.
What about Aliens, though?
Yes.
Okay.
You throw blood in it, it's a horror movie.
No, see, hold on. I disagree with Aliens. is a horror movie.
You don't get free shit. Shut up.
I know, but you know, I have opinions on this. Damn it.
We have another hour
to talk.
No, we don't.
And the reason I say no on that one is because in the first movie, it was one alien. You got everybody trying to take this thing down, and nobody can do it. In the second movie, you turn them into, again, like we see in so many movies now, it's a disposable army. You know, one shot takes them down. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of aliens. There's a whole hive of them. And, you know, there's still four survivors at the end, if you count Bishop. Come on.
All right. How about Stranger Things? Is it horror?
If you've already won something, though.
All right, Mickey Mouse, what do you got? Mickey Mouse.
Kid.
Yeah, give her a Disney. What is this?
So if it's something that has a scare element or you can be scared by it, then it would be considered horror.
Boom.
I get that.
Yeah, that's good.
You got it. Come get some free stuff.
Come get this. You like
Young
Disney.
Lady
we
in the
got
back.
One more Disney print.
Yes, you.
All right.
Absolutely. Come on up. Get a prize.
We got a...
Anthony, were you going to say something? But would you say it's semi-Lovecraftian because of that?
This one, too. This is actually a fantastic...
All right. Yeah, come up.
Yeah, come grab some.
You know what? I got one.
Okay, go for it.
And this is for something special. Toxic Avenger.
Ooh.
Boom. Why?
But why?
Stand up and speak. Project.
This one's awesome.
Okay. All right. My dad.
That's fair.
You should come by my house on a Saturday. Come by my booth.
That's fair. Come up and get something.
Oh, yeah, dude. So for you, for the trauma question, I got a Traumaville sticker and a copy of The Taint. Provided by the trauma
booth.
There
you go.
I've been waiting for that.
There's the camera.
It ain't bad.
Close up.
Oh, we're just going to, we'll edit him out. It'll be fine. Oh, we're live.
That's live.
Son of a bitch.
Are we not supposed to curse?
I mean, it's a little late for that.
Wait a fucking tell me.
Shit.
I think we've broken all the rules already.
Wait, there were rules?
I mean, I guess.
Here, how about this one? Does anybody got a serial killer question?
Ooh.
Oh, we're getting morbid.
Oh, I got a good one.
I saw something already lit right up over there. This is for a John Wayne Gacy candle from Silver Bullet Studios.
Okay, so. I got a question I can ask for that.
Okay.
No.
It smells like his butthole, to be totally honest. It's really unique.
Smells like crawl.
Norman
smells
Bates
like crawl
from Psycho.
And you can win it for free if you'd like.
Norman Bates from Psycho, Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs are all loosely based on who? You had your hand up first. Ed Gein.
Come get yourself a candle. Make your house smell like John Wayne Gacy's blood.
I didn't even finish. This guy knew exactly where I was going.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the ones who heard free stuff and came running. Welcome. That's Silver Bullet Studios. Check out the rest of his wares. He does some really good prints and collages and things of that nature. He has a whole serial killer portrait line, too.
Yeah, but I don't even know if we mentioned, but like all these prizes are from vendors.
Yeah, everybody donated
over there,
this
so
stuff.
Go and so check out all of these amazing vendors that donated all this stuff for us to give
we'll
out.
Give you a, we'll mention off the list after because we totally dropped the ball on that one. So
I started saying
we've been,
stuff.
We've been mentioning been, as yeah. people have gotten stuff.
I'm glad you're listening.
Including our moderator, Alex.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep, I'm a cartoonist and that's one of my stuff if you want to win it. Let me ask a question. What is your favorite Guillermo del Toro movie and why? Back there. Why?
Ooh.
But he produced it. He didn't direct that movie.
You didn't specify. You just said Guillermo del Toro.
There's no specification.
Fine.
That counts.
That's like calling Hatchet 3 and Adam Green.
What's that?
He just produced it.
What? Hatchet 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not an Adam Green, though. He just produced it.
I guess technically, but he's in it, though.
If they're involved in the movie... The production
of it in any way. How often do we see people's names plastered onto something? Like,
I have a booth to run and you guys are butchering
me.
I'm just trying to
Henry Selick when they think Nightmare Before Christmas.
Me.
Everybody thinks Tim Burton.
Right.
Henry Selick, I just said it.
Anthony, what's up?
Have him come grab a movie. Wait, he wants something.
It's good.
It is. That's a good call.
Who's got a horror movie that came out this year that maybe we haven't seen yet? Or something a little under the radar that you guys... All right.
Just came out last
week.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
you just saw
that.
I watched it.
It was okay.
It was good. I feel like I didn't like how they wrapped it up, but I did. Like,
the fucking rock thing was a little out there.
It was a little like...
I got a subject right there.
Go
right
ahead.
For that.
What's your subject?
That movie did to me what's the number one pet peeve I have with modern horror? They go too fucking big at the end.
Yeah.
It just goes so grandiose at the end of the film that it just completely... It almost ruins it. Like, I mean, I could think back. It started with like Haunting in Connecticut, where it went from a haunted house movie to him pulling like 500 bodies out of the walls. Like, it's just, that was one of those movies where it was just, I thought it was really well made and it was creepy and it gave you the paranoia and they even played with your own ears where they're jumping directions on stuff. But by the end of that, it just went so grandiose that it was too much.
I enjoyed it until the end. But I think it's worth a watch.
It is worth a watch, though.
Anthony, what do you got?
Did you get some?
Did you get a project? Come on up.
Haunt?
You know you want Trump to pause. That's the grand prize.
Have you seen that?
I think it's a poster.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Pancho Moller was great. Gentleman right behind you had a question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Incident of Ghostland was fantastic. Directed by the guy who did Martyrs. So if you've seen Martyrs, you kind of know what you're in for.
I got one to suggest.
I
actually just did a review for Holiday Hell.
Yes, that one was good.
That I don't really like doing. I'm not really the one on the show that likes doing the reviews of stuff, but I really felt the need with this one.
We love anthologies. So.
If you're an anthology fan, right up your alley. But this one's actually piloted by Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs.
In a Leland Gaunt-esque kind of like shopkeeper. You know, here's items. It's all based around items in a shop with a last-minute present buyer, and he tells the stories.
The story
everything.
Of each item. Yeah.
I mean, it has it's very independent, low budget. It does have, you know, everything's got its high points and its low points. There's the goddamn pin. But I particularly it's the nods to me in that one.
Right.
I got a lot of. Feels off of it is kind of how I went with the review of little winks and nudges at other classic stories, but just kind of just giving a freshness to it. Plus, it's got Joel Murray in it.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know if
Santa
anybody
Claus
else in here is a fan
that,
of Joel Murray,
yeah.
But Bill Murray's not the only brother. That's funny. He was also, I believe Joel was in Hatchet.
Yes.
Yep.
He was the scumbag. Yes. And people forget there's other Murray brothers.
Yeah.
Can I just say, like, one of my favorite parts about that movie is the fact that the rabbi section is called the hand that rocks the dreidel.
We have no clue on that one yet.
I got one for the audience.
Really?
Let's hear it.
That's who we actually mentioned that we wanted to get, and we should be already trying to get that set up.
Fantastic.
Alex, what do you got?
Everybody in here, please tell me specifically, what is the worst horror movie you hate and why? Something that's just garbage that you absolutely hate, please tell me.
Just throw something out. You want a free prize.
What is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the tire movie. Because fuck you. That's why. That's why that movie.
Because
did
they
you
can.
Make it? Did you write it?
The,
it was awful. It's garbage. Come get something.
That.
Come on.
Did you
up.
Win something yet?
Yeah, come grab something.
No, she didn't get anything.
You know you want R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet.
It's Joe's biographical story.
Well, we got another answer over here.
What'd you say? Tourist Trap? What's that one?
Tourist Trap.
Oh, I love that one.
Oh, actually, we should get trivia too.
Right.
Hold on. Tourist Trap, the old school?
His friends.
Kind of like a bucket of blood kind of situation there?
You know, Tourist Trap?
What?
Yes,
it
was
is Tourist Trap. That's what we're talking about, guys. Talking Hi, we're talking about Tourist Trap.
1979.
Oh.
Yeah, come on up.
Well.
All right.
The facts.
How about favorite foreign horror movie?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Gonna go French horror all the way, right?
Like,
what are you gonna pull out? You're gonna pull out the.
We can do
what?
French. We can do Korean. Like, there's a lot
Italian,
of.
I know.
Japanese.
I got one.
No.
It's not for you.
Yeah,
but you can give
you.
Your opinion
we got
after.
You. We got answers
Guys,
out here.
Guys, shut up. You.
Ooh, good one.
Yes. Come on up. Has anyone else seen Kingdom yet?
No.
Django Kingdom. It's produced by the people who did Train to Busan. It's a show on Netflix about medieval Korea and then zombies. And it's awesome. What do you got?
We're running out.
Suicide? Speak up a little bit.
You can always just pass around to someone else.
Yeah, come on up. It's awesome. You shouldn't be screaming that because people are not going to know. Like, people are just going to walk in. Suicide.
You're going to walk out and there's going to be somebody waiting for you. We worry about you. Yeah. We're a tight-knit community.
Are we going to do one more?
We got this.
Were you raising your hand? What is it?
Is that Eddie Murphy? Ooh, 100 Days of Sodom.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're
Gentleman
a sick
over here in
fuck.
The gray. Dead alive.
That's okay.
It is, yeah.
Come on
Do
up.
Do we have anything left back here?
All right.
People, that poster.
Yeah, we're down to we're down to the good stuff.
Did you guys already give away mine?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
All right, we are.
We got a couple of posters. Well,
we're going to do trivia. Like,
so we're doing trivia for trivia the autograph.
That's up
for grabs. Oh, now you do.
Oh, shit, there's a necklace poster. Or Eddie Murphy Delirious.
What? The poster might be better.
The poster is from Survival of the Film Freaks.
What it is, honestly.
Okay.
That's actually pretty cool.
You're back there.
Nice.
All right, yeah, come on up. Get some of them.
Can I say one?
Sure.
Because you kind of jumped into my world with I'm a huge, you know, I'm like a huge French extreme horror fan.
Yeah.
And I kind of mad that nobody said Inside or High Tension or I mean High Tension kind of
I hate High Tension.
High Tension. I mean, I'm going to fully admit that High Tension is a blatant ripoff
of
intention.
Tension. Well, it also doesn't make any goddamn sense.
It doesn't have to.
No, it does. It does. If you were going to set some rules that you were going to follow your film by and then you completely disregard those rules, you made a shit film.
And you've made a David Lynch film.
No, you made
and
a shit film.
But Inside, come on, give me Inside.
Inside's good.
Thank you.
Inside was really good.
Inside, is anybody familiar with that film? Please, I know you are. Please go watch that movie. That's basically
Frontiers.
Frontiers. Raw.
Tomato, tomato.
I just found these. I'm pretty sure there's enough for everybody, but it's Curse of La Llorona, full-size poster. So come up at the end and you can grab one if you'd like. But now we got the big, big prizes. So.
Where were we doing
big
this?
Prizes.
Is this part of the big prizes?
Oh, yeah.
It's part of the big. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Where'd it come from? Tell them.
That's from Grim Asylum over there with the rat knife people. This
has been used for proctological exams.
Ooh. That's legit. That you can brain somebody with that. So
I think someone's got trivia questions, right?
Trivia questions.
Whoever shouts it out first will win.
I mean, if anyone wants to get to the front of a line of something really quickly, I'd really want this prize.
ICP goes on at 5. No.
So do we want to do a fairly easy trivia question for this one? Because I'm saving the really hard one for the cane.
Yeah,
thing.
Start off with an easy one.
All right, so this is with a show of hands. And whoever gets their hand up first.
Who sees hand raised first.
Heads up.
Oh.
Norman Bates is from what slasher franchise?
Was it him? Or
Chris, that was you.
Come on.
It was a nice, easy one to start off.
I'm surprised there weren't many hands for that.
I got one.
Nobody wants the bat.
Alex got one.
Alex, go.
Let's do the free t-shirt from
London.
What you do with that is out of our control.
A free t-shirt from London 1888 is the next prize. Just go over to their booth and you get a free t-shirt. They are
amazing.
A good one.
Yeah, thank you to those guys for throwing one in.
All right, is Kyoko from Ringu or The Grudge?
50-50, folks.
Right here, she's got her hand up.
50-50 chance on that.
She's got her hand up right
hand
here.
Hand up.
You got it.
We had a hand up over here. Who was first?
Come on up and get your prize.
Your choice of a free shirt from London 1888. Yeah.
Next prize.
Our next question.
Is that the tickets?
Yep.
This is 4 tickets to The Stray that
second
is going
screening.
To be screening in Millbury, Mass. Saturday, November 2nd.
4 tickets, yep.
All right, so this is another fairly easy one because we definitely want people to check this out. What are the colors of Freddy Krueger's sweater? Right there in the gray. Ooh. Oh. We got this gentleman in the back. Brown, red, and black.
Come on.
Red and green.
Ding, ding.
So come up. You just won 4 tickets to the premiere of Stray.
I got one for that one.
It depends on the settings of your television. You might want to adjust those a little bit for the color quality.
In honor of our guest of honor, Bruce Campbell, this amazing print from Chris Butler. Designs. He is awesome. Go and check his prints out. They're amazing.
I got one.
Yeah, go for it.
What is the name of the Book of the Dead?
That guy in the green, right, I think?
Yeah, the guy
green.
In the green.
A little louder.
Yeah, whoa.
Yes.
Yes. Sir. Yeah, come on up.
Ding, ding.
I heard it.
Ex Mortis. Yeah. We'll accept Necronomicon.
All right, next one. We got Fuzz on the Lens Productions, autographed by the 3 guys, Abnormal Attraction. They're awesome guys. Go check them out. They also produced Terrifier and Terrifier 2. That will be coming out soon. So go and check. They have a table here. They're awesome, so go and check them out.
Hey, you want me to go with another one of mine? All right, this one's a little difficult. So I've tried to contain some clues in the question itself. In the Evil Dead remake, the first letter of each character's, of the main character's name, spells out what diabolical word?
Ooh.
Jeez.
New, not even remotely close.
That's a good guess.
It's a big guess.
Spells out what diabolical word?
You know, this amount of time, somebody could have Googled it by now.
Yeah, I don't see anybody out in there. Close, but no.
Oh, I'm thinking.
Any other guesses?
No, there's only 5 main characters. Almost. It's not Devil. No. Demon.
Ding, ding.
Demon, come nice. And get your prize.
No. Nice.
See these are called phones. You just type in info and it tells you what's on.
Yeah, the IMDb app is awesome.
Yeah.
All right, next we have Pieces of Talent, which was my favorite movie of 2015, signed by the director David Long and the lead actress Christy Ray. Love it. Who's got a question?
Somebody.
Somebody other than me, because I only have two really, really difficult ones,
okay,
and I don't think anyone's going to get one.
Just an easy one here.
Okay.
What is the name of Chucky's son?
That's how much people like Child's Play, Joe.
Yeah.
That's an easy one.
The fuck?
Can't be at his hand first.
Yeah. Glenn, you got it. Come on up.
Ding, just ding. So everybody knows, Joe liked the reboot of that.
Ooh, I did.
I didn't think it was terrible. Sorry.
I want a divorce.
But unpopular opinion, I am not a fan of the original Child's Play movies. Like, those are my least favorite. I get a lot of shit for that, but it's my opinion.
Just fucking throw them in a fire.
It's more comedy to me. The first two are good, but...
That is from...
I want to drop kick Chucky into fucking
yeah,
fire.
Yeah, I mean, he's easy.
I got one for that one.
All right, what do we got left?
We have
this, it's
earrings.
Oh,
a planchette,
Ouija
pink
board
planchette
earrings here from...
I honestly left the info in my backpack.
We dropped the ball, but you'll see them walking around. Go ahead,
that's
Alex, you say your question.
Go with an easy question.
Easy one.
Anybody, easy question?
Ryan?
What, the mask that Michael Myers wears is based off of what celebrity?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
There you go.
You got it. Come on up.
It's pretty standard horror stuff.
Yeah.
So all we have left is the cane.
Yes.
The
yes.
cane autograph.
Oh.
So we have.
All right. So this is going to be.
Grand
this
prize.
Is. Not only is this an amazing film, but it's autographed by Kane Hodder. So.
Oh yeah.
There's going to be a Kane Hodder centric. I want to make sure this goes to a fan.
Yes.
So this is going to be a very difficult question if you are not a Kane Hodder fan. What did Kane study in college?
How to be mint? How to be awesome?
I see the phones coming out.
Come on, somebody.
Smart move. Hey,
my fucking phones out.
I mean, nobody's raising their hand, so.
Take a guess. What do you got?
Kane actually just signed this today, too, folks.
No. Pretty much everybody's guessing.
If it's too hard,
Alex
has another
one.
Throw something.
Gynecology.
No. No.
If it's
no, no.
How to be set on fire?
No.
That's literally out.
Yikes!
He's a stuntman. How many movies have you seen him been on set aflame?
No.
That's what the prize is.
I don't mean it that way. Way to take
hold
it in
hold
a dark
on. I got
direction.
People yelling answers. I can't hear.
I mean, have
no.
you seen the movie?
Anyone.
If it's too hard, Alex.
That's
Alex
why
has
I want
question.
I want this. He says it in the movie.
I
he
can
says
it down
in
user question.
His book, which is also here.
Well, they don't know, so we might have to pick another one.
No. This,
okay. Well,
he may have. I don't know. I wasn't at the panel.
All right. So, how about a little bit easier question? Just because
that one.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
The answer was cartography. Cartography. Well, in his book and in the movie, it says cartography.
Pamela Voorhees brings his little brings her son to what camp?
Well, what's that?
Well, I think we should be calling on people instead of people shouting out answers.
Well, yeah, just an echo. So just
this has gone south quickly.
All right, where did Jason...
Yo, you got a question or something?
Pick a number between 1 and 100.
What is the name of Victor Crowley's father?
Jason takes what city?
Oh, right here, right here. Yeah. Thomas, that is correct.
All right, we have a winner.
Damn.
That was painful.
That was bad. That was like an episode
hey,
of something.
To, you said come up with hard questions.
I just
questions.
Wanted it to
I didn't
end.
Say come up with like
so
impossible
anyways,
to answer unless you
impossible.
Do horror podcasting questions.
Came up with the question.
Right. It would have been really bad if I didn't know.
It was too hard.
So, yeah, this is over.
Hey, we still got half an hour to fill.
No, we don't.
No,
anyways,
we don't. That's
the,
it.
We have a bunch of posters for, what is it?
Okay, so, the Curse of Lyra.
So if you, yeah, if you want, like, yeah, on the way out, definitely stop up here, grab a poster. Thank you very much for
wait,
being
wait, wait,
here.
Hold on. Does anybody have any questions for us about podcasting or what we do?
Oh, don't get cocky.
They were just here for the free stuff, let's be honest.
Did everybody have
it's okay.
fun? That's what I care about. Did everybody have a good time? Round of applause. Let us know.
I hope you guys learned something at the very least.
Thank you. I didn't care what the answer really was. I just
happy to do this. I hope you go listen to some of our shows, please. Like, check us out on the Darkening Network.
Up here we have Throwdown Thursday, That Strange Show, Horror Squad, Black and White, Wicked Horror Show.
I'm sorry, guys. We're all going to hang out at our booth, and you can find that all on the Darkening Network.
Drink Deadly Grounds coffee.
What's your booth number?
We just cut him off.
And we're here. We have a booth here with the Darkening Network. So come to booth
719 and 721.
Come hang out with us. Okay. Drink flashy blue drinks with us.
They're better because they're flashing.
We have a we got buttons and stickers and magnets and butt plugs and everything you guys could possibly.
And we're there.
Double ended.
And feel free to check out my art, booth 206.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Nobody wanted trapped in the closet.